Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Welcome back to the Toolbox, where we got the greatest classic rock of all time, my friends. Pulling one from Lynyrd Skynyrd's Street Survivors record. You can call this one, Shut Your Mouth and Get on the Plane.
Well, I've heard lots of people say they're gonna settle down. You don't see the faces and they don't come around. Well, I'm not that way. I got to move along. I like to drink and to dance all night. Comes to a fix, not afraid to fight. You got that right. Said you got that right.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Real Estate Wealth Expo's Bill Zanker, with Gina Gratt on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and an underwear-themed round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, his family would hate being part of the Real Estate Wealth Expo because it involves owning real estate, accruing wealth, and leaving the house. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Gina Gratt?
Absolutely. Good day.
Handball, Brian.
That's obscene.
Money. Yeah. I love it. I love the parents that have no relationship with money and then are angry when those in their family become successful. Yeah. Delia has no table.
That's obscene.
I had, you know, I like to, you know, when I think about my own lot, my own dad, my own mom, I get upset. But then when I compare and contrast to others, mm-hmm. I get livid.
Took an it's active worse. Role in yes. educating about money, I finances. Was,
oh, or just anything. Just anything. When I hear about, oh, yeah, we got some land out by Lake Piru. Mm-hmm. My parents don't use it much, so they let us hang out there. They got it's not a big boat. You know, like any of that stuff. I hear anything.
as long as we're bonding, everything's fine.
If I hear somebody's dad has a Chick-fil-A franchise and they get just to eat when they were kids, they could eat there for free. He'd let them bring a few friends. I go nuts because it all sounds like something. The worst or the best or the whatever is, oh, they had a diner. It wasn't fine cuisine, but we could always go in there and get an omelet or something. It drives me insane. My parents had nothing. Even hearing I'm talking to, it's a Tony Curtis. I'm going full Tony Curtis. I'm going to bring this Tony Curtis thing around. Tony Curtis. So, Tony, not Tony Curtis. Tony at the other shop who's working on the Willie T doc about now. I sit in the edit bay with him, and I just give little notes every day for a few minutes. And we just start talking about his life, his dad, and everything else. And his dad was this Greek guy. And, you know, like maybe some broken English. But now here's the message, everybody. Don't do what I did and all my friends did, which is if you're poor and your parents are poor and everyone's poor, you just get a job on construction site, on a construction, like a fucking donkey just cleaning up garbage and never getting laid. Never getting laid and cleaning up garbage and never having any money. This guy's uneducated. It's the same deal. But he gets a job as a waiter over at the jockey club at the Hollywood track, right?
Tony or Tony's dad?
Tony's dad.
Okay.
He gets a gig over there at Hollywood Park,
okay,
working the whatever club, which means he's up there with the high rollers, yeah, and nobody throws around money more than guys who won a bunch of money. Now, if they didn't win a bunch of money, then they leave.
Yeah.
But nobody throws it around like the guys who just hit the exact done, yeah, or tossing it around.
It's a self-selecting sample. The guys that are there, they're because they're there.
Hollywood celebrities, mm, wanting to be recognized, whatever. And it's like, his dad probably had an eighth grade education, but he'd come home with $500 of cash every night. Right. So that's a good example, yeah, of do this. Like, if you're not going to go the Harvard doctor, lawyer, licensed and bonded, mm-hmm, route, go that route. Mm-hmm. Don't go the wandering in a circle on a construction site with Mexicans looking for a place to fucking die. Like me, go over to get a gig, yeah, at a cool restaurant or a bar or a, you know, go to Vegas, get a job at a casino and, show those titties and, sling that,
you,
that vodka,
I heard that,
and make some money.
Well, and it's like what you said about when you were a boxing coach, that you were finally mingling with people different than you, more successful than
the
you.
Exact same thought.
Seeing,
yes,
yeah,
you
seeing
get an
what's
eye
possible.
That.
Expose going yourself to that lifestyle.
Yeah. My Tony Curtis full circle here, right, is I was on stage in Vegas at SEMA for the big automotive show at the Optima Battery booth. And I was talking to a guy who was over at Optima Batteries, and he was like, my dad was into Mercedes when he was a kid. And I said, your dad, that's a weird car to be into when you're a kid. This guy was 60 years old. You know, that's a while ago when you're a kid and your dad's into Mercedes. I said, Dad, give me a cool car, Mercedes, your dad had. Tony Curtis's Gullwing.
What?
Tony Curtis's Gullwing. First off, Gullwings are anywhere between $1 million and $1.7 million now. I'm sure Tony Curtis's Gullwing is maybe worth a little more. Cream with a red interior, perfect color. It's the Mercedes, the iconic Mercedes, yeah, from the 50s with the Gullwing doors. But it's the idea that your dad had Tony Curtis. Tony Curtis was a huge star, yeah, and especially back in the day.
Ladies, man.
You having Tony Curtis's Gullwing.
So.
Yeah. He could be the next Kevin Spacey, right?
Oh, wow.
Other way around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know how it works with Tony Curtis. Do you? Is it official?
I think he's a confirmed bachelor. Yeah, yeah.
Is it the same with Rock Hudson? A lot of those dudes.
Yeah,
Burt Lancaster,
Montgomery Clift,
or,
the
yeah,
whole
whoever.
Era.
But is Tony Curtis gay?
I think it's pretty commonly accepted. I don't have any proof
well,
of this
wait
at
a
all.
Minute. He has kids.
Well, so is Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but this, I mean, Michael had to go through a very extensive process yeah, to get his kids. Yeah.
Let's do a quick Google search, shall we?
Gary will figure it out.
Right.
I mean,
I'm sorry, I was looking for a picture of the Gullwing.
No, you're supposed to find out if Tony Curtis is confirmed gay.
He certainly was like been married. I know it's different back then, but I don't know just gay. I don't know either.
I always assumed I understood.
I'm seeing a list here of 6 female spouses over the years and 6 children.
That protests a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and, oh, God, Burt.
Rock Hudson, Burt Lancaster.
No, I was going to say, oh, who was married to?
Burt Young.
Yeah, Burt Young. Oh. No. Liz Taylor's wife, husband. Burt. Richard Burton.
Thank you.
Yeah. And somehow you helped, but all you did was snap your fingers like you needed more iced tea or something. You don't get, like, you get an assist. You get an assist on that one, like when the puck hits the guy in the back of the skate and it just bounces off and then I knock it in, but you were skating the other direction. But I still, somehow that.
The snapping helped.
It
jolted
got my
something.
Metronome going.
It apparently says here that he admitted at one point that early in his Hollywood life, he did engage in gay sex.
Well, you do what you got to do to get where you're going.
Been married 6 times after that. All right. So I had this. You tell me what you think of this. I'm not offended. I'm just curious what's going on here.
Okay.
Flew home from Vegas. On a 6:30 flight, flew into Vegas, landed about 1:30 in the afternoon, flew home about 6:30 on an almost empty Southwest flight. Very rare. Everyone's flying in for SEMA. SEMA's a very crowded event. And on a Wednesday or Tuesday, as it were, flying back, just nothing Nothing there.
Holiday.
40 people on a Southwest flight. Unheard of, which is fine. And no assigned seating, so I'm going to get some knee room.
First class.
Yeah. So I'm going to go sit in the aisle that's at the emergency exit where the wing is, because you get an extra 3 or 4 inches of knees, and that's all. At 6'2", that's all you need is that 3 or 4 inches of knees. So as I go to pull in, I notice that there's a petite Asian woman sitting closest to the window in the same aisle. Now, there's one on one side, and then on the other side, they have sort of it, but it's just one chair that has nothing in front of it. Okay. Somebody's already claimed that one.
Sure.
So now
I'm going to leave a seat, basically a seat empty, not empty, but like a vacant place where a seat would be.
Right. So now I'm going to do something that I don't like to do, which is on a flight where everyone can kind of have their own row, I'm going to sit in somebody's row.
Oh, wow.
But
brazen.
Oh, if she has a podcast, she's going nuts about this.
Well,
who are these people?
They're 40, and I don't know how the math works out. I bet you could. Yeah, it's probably less than 20 rows or more than 20 rows. You could probably, with 40 people, everyone could literally have their own 3-seat row, I do believe. But she's against the window, and we got the knee room in this one. And she's a petite Asian woman. So probably in her late 20s, early 30s. So I make sure and sit down closest to the aisle.
Okay.
And now we have room between us. We have an empty seat between us, and we have a lot of leg room in front of us.
Everybody wins.
As I plop down, she promptly stands up and leaves.
Okay.
Now,
it's a real game of chess.
Which is now fine with me, because I then move to the middle seat, and now I'm king of all I survey.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm guessing she sat there because she wanted the knee room, except for she wasn't a big enough person to really need it, but everyone wants it.
Yeah. Sure.
If it's there, they'll take it.
You can cross your legs, for God's sake.
Sure.
So she was there because ostensibly she wanted the knee room. I sat on the aisle. We were a seat apart. I was not encroaching into her world. Did she do it? Okay. Did she do it under protest, as if to say, hey, there's a few people on this flight. Everyone is claiming their own thing. I claimed my aisle. How dare you go claim your aisle? I claimed my aisle, but her aisle, I'm 6'2", and she's 5'3", and she sat in the one with the knee room. What do you think? What should I have done? Should there have been a discussion? What was she thinking? Where did she go?
Okay, I've had the similar experience, not on a plane, but often at the movies. I'll go see movies. You know, we don't work Fridays here at the show, and I'll see a movie for Bollywood, for example. It comes out on a Friday. I'll see it at noon because, you know, a lot of people in the theater.
You just sidle right up next to
this
one person.
So I'll sit down right in my perfect seat, right in the middle, and if someone kind of saddles up a couple seats away from me, which they're welcome to do, I will often, after that, stand up and go to the next aisle. Not to be rude about it, not in a huff, not in, oh, how dare you, just because I would like to spread out, not have you in my eye, in my periphery.
I'm with you.
So it's just a personal preference for me. Maybe
right,
it was for
but
her.
There is no difference between the seats you speak of.
You're
this
right.
is this has the knee room.
This could
and
have.
She chose it for a reason, and she chose to sit next to the window, which is a weird thing. If you would like to claim this for Spain, you have to block a little bit.
Yeah.
Sit on the aisle.
Yeah.
You're inviting people in.
Yeah. I have another theory. And it's just because I spend all day consuming the news, and I wonder if this is sort of in the subtext, subconscious subculture right now, where she's thinking, big dude blocking my way into the aisle, stranger danger. You know what? I'd rather just go sit by myself. I don't need this man up in my blocking
threat,
me,
a physical threat.
Yeah, blocking me from being able to get up.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like to paint with too broad a brush here, but her she was Asian, and in her early 30s, there's a very good chance her dad was that doctor who was dragged off the plane.
Dr. I mean,
I'm not saying it was.
It's a better than 1% chance.
Very good chance.
Yeah.
It's a very good chance
very
that was very high.
Yeah.
Not saying it was. Just it's incredibly likely. I would be surprised if that wasn't her dad.
You'd be smart to put money on it.
Yeah, so she obviously experienced that firsthand.
Right.
Well, she had the emergency door right there. Like
yeah,
she was
an easy jump.
She was in charge of the emergency door. She
Maybe
got
the
up.
Gravity of the responsibility hit her right then. Like, oh my God. What?
So it never dawned on you, or you just didn't seem necessary to say, hey, I know this is, you know, kind of your aisle, but let's go in on this together. Ha ha ha. You know, make a joke out of it.
Hey, I feel like Southwest is sort of like, I don't know. It's like the cafeteria in prison. Like, come on. We all know what we're doing here, right?
We all did something.
No one ever goes, where's my high back chair and my fetch my slippers? It's like, all right, we've all done something horribly wrong. We're forced in. Let's just make the best. We're going to make the best of it. You're going to finish that Jell-O. I mean, we're just going to get through this.
Maybe in 3 to 5 years, we'll get out of here.
I want to get into general pop. I don't want to go down to the hole. Like, you've all done something wrong. You're all paying now for what you've done.
Yeah.
It's a general, look, if you're looking for dignity and comfort and amenities, you go fly American or Delta.
Keep looking.
And pay the extra money. You know what I mean? Like, that's
fair.
That's my thing. I have the same feeling at the Home Depot. Like, when people walk in and they're like, I asked this guy where the 3/16 reducers were and he didn't even know where they were. Yeah, because they're 19 cents a piece. If you want to go to the corner place and talk to Pops Larson, he'll tell you the difference between an LB and an angle stop and a reducer versus a sleeve and a harmonic balancer. But then you got to pay because that guy needs to get paid because that guy was a journeyman plumber. You're going to the place where everything is almost free and you want expert advice to fall down from the ceiling.
A butler.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. And so I'm the same thing with Southwest. Like, look, I want to get to Vegas in 54 minutes. I'm going to pay $89. This is how I shall do it.
Yeah. Your bags are flying free. That $50 is coming out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
It's coming out of amenities.
Right.
Right. So nobody on that Southwest flight can cop any kind of holier than thou attitude. We all knew the job was dangerous when we took it, like President Trump said.
We knew we were getting into it.
We knew we were getting into it when we signed up to fly in Southwest.
Okay.
All right. So they shouldn't be able to do it. I don't know. I don't know if it was a protest. I'm hoping it was an overly polite Asian thing where maybe she had a touch of a cold or something.
Oh.
Thought maybe. But then
more
she would be wearing a mask.
That's true.
She got up. She moved somewhere behind me. I obviously not into something that had more knee room, but something that had more leg room.
Less Adam.
Perhaps.
100% less Adam.
Now with 100% less Adam. She could have had a plan for putting up the armrest and laying out. She was a petite-ish woman.
That's fun. Could have been.
It's against a 49-minute flight.
I was gonna say,
but
it's ambitious.
Still, I'm going to go with that.
I think you're probably right.
I don't feel like, she didn't offer any quarter, and I didn't offer any apologies, and I don't feel like we needed to have that discussion.
Yeah, because for petite person, let alone petite Asian woman, empty row, always better than a little extra leg room.
Yes, especially if you're going horizontal. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Also, lost my phone, everybody. Yeah, man.
Now, this is interesting because you're a businessman who does business things and assume you need your phone, but you're also a guy who doesn't really have a strong relationship with the phone or know how to work it too well. So how do you feel?
Adversarial.
Ambivalent?
He can call 411 with the best.
That's right. That's right.
But do you feel a little bit of relief or are you stressed out or both?
Well, a couple things. I had the moment. There's two things.
What is the context? Where'd you lose it?
I had this one. This one every time. Every time they tell you, the guy's going to be waiting there with your name. He'll be at the bottom of the escalator with the guys holding your names up. That's 50-50. What I have found with those guys, it's kind of a weird thing because we take guys who are, look, you don't really break it down. Like, oh, he's a driver. He drives an Uber. He drives for this town car company. Or he drives a cab. Or he works at the parking lot. He mans the booth that they... When you're 49 years old and your gig is going back and forth to McCarran, picking up people and dropping them off at Circus, you probably weren't top of your class at Brown or Harvard, right?
Like, sure.
I think we expect a little bit too much of these guys. We going to call Zanker or is he calling in? Sorry.
He's calling in, but we have his number. We could tell him to push a few
minutes.
Well,
when he calls, you just tell me.
Okay, you got it.
Here's the move these guys do. They run a couple minutes late. You go down the escalator. They're not there. You then start wandering around the baggage carousel and wandering around the airport. You then call their supervisor. At some point, they pull the, I don't know where he is. I'm at the airport, too.
I'm in here.
Right, but you're in the men's room in the parking garage, and I'm coming down the escalator, and I can see the sea of other guys holding up the tablets with the names on it. My name is not amongst those names on the tablet. And they're like, yeah, I didn't know. I get a lot of like, I didn't know if you wanted to meet over on the Lido deck or if you wanted to meet over on the veranda or we want to meet by the glory hole. And I'm like,
I don't know either.
How about you just stand at the bottom of the escalator where everybody comes down and then we'll not have, we'll take all the guesswork out. Yeah, I didn't know if you check bags. Okay, well, I'm coming in town for 4.5 hours, so I probably don't have a steamer trunk that I'm dragging behind me or that I checked in ahead of me. But okay, how about just do what everyone else does and then we can avoid? My theory is they're always running a little bit late and they try to do that. Many people that are running late, sometimes to an outing, a meeting or whatever, they like to throw it back on you with the confusion. Like, I was in the parking lot. I didn't see your car, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So I circled the parking, like a lot of that. And you go, and we said, we're going to meet out front of the ticket booth in front of the movie theater at 8. No, but I didn't see your car. So I just kept circling.
These are the same people that give you the wildly inaccurate estimations of where they are and where they're going to be. I'm just pulling up now.
Right.
20 minutes later, it's like, I thought you were just pulling up.
Look, right. They're just pulling out their girlfriend now.
And this has happened to us together more than once at that airport.
Oh, my God. It always happens. So the guy's not there. I got to call the company, and then I got to call him, and he's not picking up his phone, and then they got to call the company, and all sorts of stuff. And then I just go, what is this? What's so consistent about this? And in this day and age of computers, and hey, the flight's landing at Southwest, and you can kind of do the math on whether the guy's... Here's the other thing, too. I know your plan is to aimlessly wander around the baggage carousel. I have no baggage checked. Yeah. But that's something that can easily be ascertained.
Yeah.
Are you going to check a bag? No. Okay. Check the box that says no bag. And now we know we don't have to aimlessly wander around. I don't know what you look like. You don't know what I look like. And you're just going to wander around. Okay. So that, and then at some point, I'm leaving. And I just call the guy and they said, look, just get a cab and we'll just waive the charge or whatever. And I said, okay, I'll get a cab. And I start to walk. And as I'm walking, I run into the guy who's coming up. And I give him the where were you speech. And then he gives me this one. I didn't know which escalator you were coming down. He points at one across the airport.
Oh, God.
Points at that one. And if it's that one or if it's this one. So I stand in the middle. And then I do this. You mean that one that nobody is coming down? That you just see it's a ghost escalator, but nobody's on the escalator. You mean that one? That one that nobody's on versus the one behind me? It's a waterfall of humanity. That one, the one that everyone who gets off a Southwest flight gets off of because otherwise you'd be an ass by walking around the airport and going around that one. So you think like a coin toss, it could have been that one, could have been that one. There's still nobody on it. Yeah, I didn't know. It's also one of those.
Presumably he's driven before from McCarran Airport. He knows that that really is the one escalator everyone comes down, like you said.
Well, let's put it this way. We've all been to Vegas 100 times. Can anyone think of the one time they walked around?
I thought there was only one escalator.
Just need to get my extra steps in.
You can walk around, and if you want to go have yourself a smart cocktail at the NASCAR cafe, you can walk all the way around and then go down this other escalator. But everybody comes down this one because you get off the plane and everyone
that's
sort of lemming ass. Follows everyone down. So there was that. But we made up.
How's the event?
We made up.
Yeah.
We had a good event.
You stole your phone?
No. we started talking about our love of automobiles and we made up.
I drive all day. I love cars.
He had a British accent. We talked a little about Formula One. We talked a little about Indy racing, and by the end, we got along fine. I'll tell you what happened in a second with the phone. First, a veil of controversy and suspicion. Mm. More to unpack and more to suss out. I want your guys' opinion. I have no... The phone has since been located, but very suspicious.
Right. I like
very suspicious. I want to know what you guys think. First, I'll tell you about LifeLocks. Life locks. Life locks. Yes, you like bagels. You like locks. Life lock. Equifax breach, man, just got bigger. They've added 2.5 million people on the list, and now Yahoo says their 2013 breach impacted 3 billion accounts, three times the estimate. Man, that's a lot of information out there. Let's not let this happen to you. Thieves can buy your info, get it on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. It's time to get LifeLock, people. Got to get the protection. I've got it. You should get it. What about the kids? What about the family? How about my phone floating out there with all that information on there? Yeah, man.
Unreturned texts.
Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and alerts you if your info is being used. Let's not let this happen to you. Let's get LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right.
Mystery.
Mystery. So, one did the thing, try to work out when he was going to pick me up and how, because it's very crowded. The people aren't into cars. You know, they're not into cars, and they don't know about these events, but they are massive. They take up all three or four of the halls. Everything's wall to wall. You can't walk outside. It's the biggest. I don't know. Gary, how does SEMA compare to the consumer electronics or whatever other ones, but it is as big a convention as there is in North America. It is packed, and so thus you can't.
2016 SEMA was the largest trade show to date with 2.6 million attendees.
Jesus. It's a big old thing. People love cars in this country and beyond, and so you can't just go out front and go, I'm going to go to Wayne Newton Boulevard and you just come get me because there's so much traffic and cops waiting around. So we worked out a little rendezvous where I ran across the street and he was parked with his hazards on and I jumped in the car and everything else. Now, I got a couple of problems.
I'm sorry. That was the largest SEMA to date. It ranks 7th overall for total trade shows.
Pretty big.
CES comes in first.
What do they, what's CES draw? Jeez, 2.6 million. And the thing about, I think CES, but certainly SEMA, it's not open to the public.
Where do you
get 2.6 million people coming in there and not open to the public? You got to get credentials to get in there. You got to be a dealer, you know, own vendors, a paint booth or something. So
after I clicked on it, it appears that 2.6 number is CES and SEMA is at 1.2.
Oh, all right. Now.
It's getting worse and worse.
It's getting worse and worse.
Burn your computer.
Only Adam was there.
Don't click anything else.
All right. So. I'm running out with my backpack. I've already announced that my backpack has too many zippers and too many pouches and too many places. There's just too many options. I got to tell you, man. Yeah, I may have been buzzed, but when I was in Minneapolis, I looked for a thing, a jerky, as only a buzz guy who hadn't eaten that day could look for jerky.
Like a bear goes through a backpack or a cooler.
You guys picture this. All of Gary's numbers are wrong, so says Gary. Gary, look up.
Drastically over-exaggerated. CES, the attendees, is actually 112,000.
Still big.
SEMA is 157, so bigger. All my stuff was wrong.
All right.
It's getting worse.
But it's bigger than CES. All right, there you go. That's
in 5 minutes, it's going to be people. No one attended.
This event didn't happen.
No, it's fine. It's bigger than CES. By 40, 50 grand. All right, so. Ooh. Sidebar. Went a cool celebrity move right here.
Yeah.
Was walking through the biggest booth is Ford. Ford has thousands of square feet. I mean, it is huge. I don't know how to call it a booth. It's just they're taking up a whole corner thing. They got the perky chick up there is loaded with trivia up there. It's going, hey, look at our new expedition. Huge group of people piled around and she's walking by and I'm walking by. I'm just walking on the way to my booth. And she goes, can anyone tell me the name of Henry Ford's first competition race car? Anybody? Everyone's wearing Ford jackets and Ford hats. This entire Ford crew, and everyone like,
yells out while walking.
I'm not even looking.
Over
I'm just
shoulder.
Walking. I'm just walking by, and I just go. Anybody?
Nobody? Nobody? And she'll, sweepstakes! And she goes, that's right! And she gives me a Ford GT hat, and I, without breaking stride, I put it on the head of a young man, and I keep walking.
Wow. That's a power move.
Is that
move.
A power move right there?
Hell yes.
All right, remind me where we were. We're going to come back to this in a second. Bill Zanker's on the blower. The Los Angeles Real Estate and Wealth Expo coming up this Saturday and Sunday, November 4th and 5th at the Los Angeles Convention Center, 8 a.m. to 6:45 p.m. I'll be there doing my thing on podcasting on Sunday, and then it's from my stage off to Sly Stallone to talk to him about how he's amassed his fortune. Bill? Let's see. Is he on? Bill? No? Not powered up? All right. I don't know where he is.
Can I stall by saying that I met a girlfriend for coffee before I came here, and she announced unsolicited that she has a VIP ticket for this event.
Oh, good.
And she's very excited to be there.
It's a good... information is a good thing. Most the people I know who aren't doing so well have spent a lifetime rejecting information and avoiding and then rejecting. And then the ones that do well seem to ingest it and then tend to live it. All right, let me try it again. Bill Zanker?
Hey, how are you, Adam?
Good to speak to you, Bill. I just gave up.
We're looking forward to seeing you.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, yeah. Pitbull's going to be there, Susie Orman, and Sly Stallone, Tony Robbins, Magic Johnson. Magic's going to be in a pretty damn good mood if the Dodgers win the World Series.
I think so, right? I hope he gets there, you know? It's going to be crazy. We have an all-star cast coming. You know, it's pretty crazy. You know, people will get motivated with Tony Robbins. They're going to be insane with Tony Robbins. It's going to be unbelievable. He's going to do sales training. He's going to motivate people. And then you got Magic, of course. You know, how did he get from where he is to where he is now? It's insane-o. And then we got you teaching podcasting. And, you know, people will be able to pitch their ideas right in the class. You and Mike are going to just get some pitches. And, then that's going to be kind of
cool.
How
do you get all these people together? I know in the past you've done a lot of work with Trump. You've gotten him to go out and do motivational stuff. But, you know, Magic Johnson, Stallone. I mean, some of the biggest names in show business and beyond. How do you get hold of these people? And then what is your pitch?
I basically beg. And I say, please, please teach my students. They want to learn. They're hungry for this, you know. And you made it. You're successful. Now help other people. You know, all I'm asking for is a couple hours of your time and just come for a weekend. And, you know, we do it all across the country. So L.A., but L.A., the people responded. They just love it. And, you know, we're almost sold out. We're, I think, like 97% sold out. It's going to be crazy, Adam. You're going to love it. It's going to be love. But look who we have. I mean, we just got Robert Herjavec, the Shark Tank,
sure.
He's coming, and people can tweet their ideas to him, and he's going to pick some people from the audience. It's like an all-day cast of just, you know, learning, getting motivated, taking your business to the next level, your relationship. You know, Tony Robbins is just insane. You know, I've been with Tony since 1983. He's just crazy getting people to change their life. So wherever you are in your life, I guarantee, and I'll say it right on your podcast, I guarantee you will be different after you spend time with Tony this weekend. And, you know, Sylvester Stallone, he's a legend. And you're going to be hanging out with him. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to be on stage with the guy. I'll come full circle. One of Tony's disciples is Maria Menounos. If you've ever been around that woman, she is a whirling dervish. She is like some sort of self-generating solar power plant. But it's never a cloudy day. It just goes and goes and goes. And she'll tell me, like, Tony Robbins, oh, I go to all his stuff. You got to go to his stuff when he comes out here. Like, she's insane. Okay. And I was with Maria sitting next to Sly talking boxing for a couple hours a few months back. So it's all going to come full circle. I hope Maria comes out there too. I feel this as well, that I would love to impart wisdom to people and help them change their lives. I just don't know why so many people push back so hard. It's a very sad sad state of affairs for human beings, that so many of them have such a hunger for this knowledge, and then the rest just fight it tooth and nail. Bill, what's your background? Let's talk about how you became so successful.
Oh, you know, I've been always in the live event business. I love live events. I had a company called the Learning Annex, and we did seminars all across the country, like adult education. So, and then I used to book these celebrities to teach these classes, and then we started, I guess in the beginning, 2000, 2003, we started booking bigger and bigger names and bigger celebrities. And then I called up, at that time, just the Donald Trump, the Donald, and I said, would you like to speak? And, you know, we negotiated and negotiated the price, and finally we came to terms, and he spoke, and he loved it. And I think it was the first time that he had really spoken to consumer groups. He had always spoken to, you know, professional real estate people. So he loved the consumer, and the crowds loved him. And my crowd started growing and growing. And we did, with the president, we did 26 of these seminars. The biggest one was 80,000 people. It was crazy in San Francisco. So, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And we just, you know, I've been a serial entrepreneur. I started lots of companies. You know, we did a crowdfunding site. Remember, we raised, over $1 million for your great film,
Roadhard. Yeah, a couple things. How much, go ahead and take some credit, Bill Zanker. When you do stuff in front of a live audience, you have to get reps. There is no series of cassettes you can listen to that Tony can offer. There is no pamphlet you can read. There's really nothing but literally racking minutes and hours on stage with a microphone in your hand in front of a live audience. So are you going to take, or I shall force you to take, some credit for Trump probably having a very high comfort level up on stage, you know, off prompter, so to speak, with a mic in his hand, or knowing how to whip a crowd up or whatever it is, after playing all those dates and all those massive arenas that you signed, that you orchestrated many years ago?
Well, thank you. But yes, I think he got comfortable with crowds, got comfortable not having a set speech. You know, a lot of speakers have that, and we hate that. We just want people like you to go on stage and just talk and talk about your knowledge. And once Donald got, the president got that, he started being natural, and he was a natural speaker, and he knows what the crowd likes and doesn't like, you know, and he could just talk to them. And as the crowds got bigger and bigger, he got more and more comfortable. And, you know, we used to book him like for 45 minutes, an hour, and he would go on for hours because he loved it. It was just fun.
I got to tell you, one of my earliest thoughts with the Learning Annex that I didn't know you were behind at the time is I would sit here and they'd say that, you know, when he'd book these guys that were like on TV that had a regular series gig, and they'd be over at Pierce College in like a bungalow talking about acting. And it was like a legitimate, you know, Bruce Willis when he was on Moonlighting or something. It's like he's speaking at Pierce College, bungalow number 7. And I remember thinking to myself, how does whoever's putting this together get these guys that we've heard of into these little bungalows over at Pierce College to talk to them about acting? This isn't a big, glamorous, high-paying gig. So, Bill, you must have appealed to their ego.
I think it's just giving back. Everybody wants, at the end of the day, to give back, especially if you've been successful. And that's always been my pitch. Give back, help people, and touch some people's lives. And this weekend, you know, at the Real Estate Wealth Expo, you know, we're going to touch a lot of people's lives. We're going to make people get rich. We're going to make people take action. We're going to make people change where they are in their life to go forward in some way. There's going to be classes that are nonstop on all different topics, you know, especially like you're a big topic. Podcasting is huge right now, and people just don't know what to do with it, or they might have a podcast. Because, you know, we did that masterclass together that we taped about you teaching, you know, podcasting. So now you're teaching it live. So many people want to know, what do I do? How do I make money with this? Or how do I get advertisers? I listened to your class, and I said, whoa, you know? And I think there's there's going to be like 50 different classes going on simultaneously. Then you got a main stage where you got all these celebrities talking and giving back. And, you know, like the Shark Tank, he just wants to find another great idea to help that person and coach them. Or you know, Tony Robbins will definitely change people's lives. It will be crazy. And Sly Stallone with you are going to, you know, try to help people to where they want to go. You know, Sly has a great story, as you know. You know, from Rocky days, I wanted Sly so badly, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought he is Mr. Motivation. From the Rocky film one, he is Mr. Motivation. And I said, if you can just take what you do in your films and talk about how to motivate people, you're going to change people's lives.
Well, Bill.
And he said, okay, Anchor, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'm excited to I get it.
Anyway, I just tell you, it's going to be it's an exciting weekend that will change people's lives. And we did a deal with you to give a special offer. I got to just pitch that. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, if they use Adam, they can get a VIP ticket. They go to Real Estate Wealth Expo, and they use the coupon code Adam, and they get a VIP ticket that's usually, usually $249. They can get it for $69. There's only, we're almost there because it's Friday. The end of the day, we cut off the tickets. I think we're 97% sold out. They just told me. So it's going to be really cramped. If people want to do it, they should take action right now. We sold out in Dallas. We sold out in Toronto a week before. So it's just the people that are attending just want to improve their lives. The people that are teaching are marquee celebrities. I mean, for $69, your listeners get to see Tony Robbins, you, Pitbull. And by the way, Pitbull's doing a live performance and also we call it a genius talk. Where he's
I'm going to be on your shoulders with my top off in that audience. Every time he points at the ceiling, I'm going to take another shot.
Yeah, get that backstage pass, son.
All right, Bill, I'm going to let you have your coffee.
Real Estate Wellbeck, I hope to see you there. And I'll see you, Adam.
I'll see you there. I'll be looking forward to you and Sly. Maybe not in that order, but either way, I'll be happy to see Bill Zenker and Sly Stallone over there. Yep, Saturday and Sunday. It's coming up. And it's at the convention center. Man, that's loaded for bear, man.
Yeah, it's a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, I do. I marvel at how passionate I am about giving people information and how they rival my passion for giving it with not receiving information. Yeah. It's such a weird, it's the worst wiring you can have.
It's almost a one-to-one ratio.
If I would rather my kid have fucking polio than be wired like a lot of people I know where you just keep telling them stuff and they go, well, maybe I have my reasons or you're late or you do. All right. And it's like, it is not something that we focus on as a society, and I have no idea why. Also, I assess people's position, where they come from, what they've been able to achieve, what they're doing now, what they did, where they're going, what they've done. And then I base my absorption of their information not solely, but a fair amount on what did this person do. If this person, the person may have $1 million in the bank, but maybe their dad left them $10 million and they squandered $9 million on video games and cotton candy. Then that person, when they tell me something, I listen to it a certain way. The other person may have started with a penny and just got to $1 million in the bank account. They both have $1 million in the bank account.
But one's an achievement day and one isn't.
I'm considering the backstory.
Yeah.
I am considering the backstory, and then I'm not saying, hey, you want me to jump off a bridge? Go find a bridge. But I'm listening very carefully as to what they're saying. When I was...
Tell me more about this bridge.
Starting off, I would have, you know, like Jimmy used to hand out information like whore hands out herpes. He just go, here's what to do. Here's what to do. Here's what to do. No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, don't be the van driver. If you're the van driver, then you're going to be the van driver. Nobody wants to hear from the van driver. Don't be the van driver. And whatever it is, when I first met him, I go, I'm going to call up Kevin Bean. I'm going to crack wise. He's like, no, you're not going to come up with the character. That's what you're going to do. And I listened to everything he said. My buddy Ray was telling me to ask for more money. And I didn't listen to him because I looked at those two and I went, this guy's wrong most of the time and most of the decisions he makes are wrong. And then this guy makes a lot of good decisions. Yeah. Right. Why don't people factor in that very simple? I have conversations. I will literally have conversations where I climb into Paul Newman's $5 million car and we park it in the middle of my warehouse and I surround it with other million-dollar cars and I'll go, let me tell you what I think. And they go, slow your roll, hotshot.
I got ideas, too.
Yeah, I got it. And whoa, by the way, I want to make sure my donkey's properly tied up to the hitching post. Otherwise, I'm going to have to walk back to my mom's apartment. Then we get into it over who's right and who's wrong. I don't get that. I assume that once you sort of, if Bill Belichick comes up to your peewee fucking football team and calls the coach aside and goes, I've been watching you guys practice. I have a couple thoughts. You don't go, hey, man, I do it the way I do it. Okay. Like, no, you listen to that guy.
Well, Chris Titus, who was in here, who's made his way in Hollywood pretty well over the years. Remember, he got notes unsolicited from Farrelly, Peter or Bobby Farrelly, on the movie he was making. Yeah. And like a smart person, he's like, yes, please tell me. You are a very, very successful, you know, comedic director. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
And rewrote the script twice based on those notes. Yeah.
It's so weird how many folks don't have that. Please. I'm a dry sea sponge, please fill me with your information versus I think I know what I'm doing or I have my own way of doing or you'll see or whatever it is.
That's like your opinion.
Right. Okay. So now.
Phone's gone.
I meet up with my guy, Keith, and we figured out it's one of those things where I'm talking on the phone and he's waving his hand and I see him across the street and I go running across the street. And everything's working out great. Now, I got a problem. I have my backpack with too many pockets. And now I got one of those travel hoodie things with too many pockets.
Oh,
it's got the things and
the
things and the things, the zip and the thing. And I got the backpack on my lap. And I'm trying to get my boarding pass out, sunglasses, blah, blah, blah. I got my water bottle, da, da, da. And
God knows how many beers coursing through your veins.
How many beers course through my veins. And I get out of the car, black interior, black leather interior, town car. And I do what I always do, which is I turn around and I survey. Mm-hmm. I look to see anything fall out of the pockets or left behind. It's a pretty big phone. It's white, black interior. I see nothing. Give him a tip. He takes off. I head for security. I get through security, and this is when it starts to hit. Like, oh, phone, put it in the little doggy dish, and then you're patting yourself. And, oh, it's in my backpack. It must be in one of those. I can't open every pocket in this backpack, but it's in the backpack. Here's put my glasses and everything. Get through security. Start searching, quickly realizing after doing the move where you look through the same pouch in the backpack 18 times, hoping that somehow magically it would be there. Now starting to sink in. The phone is not there. It's in the back of the car. It has to be in the back of the car. The reason it has to be in the back of the car is because I was talking on it as I was climbing into the car. And I turn around and look, but maybe it slid. Maybe it slid off the seat and slid under the whatever. It's got to be in the back of the car. Okay, I have no way to communicate with the car now, and I don't really have any way to go back through security again, and he's down the road, and I'm starting to have notions like borrowing somebody's cell phone or pay phone. I don't know how this works.
Do you know your own number?
Yeah, I do know my own number.
Oh, look at you.
I do. I'm a big boy now. But I don't know what I can do. I don't have this guy's number memorized. I could call Matt DeAndre, and he might be able to get a hold of the guy. But now I'm going to have to leave the airport again. I'm not sure how this is going to work. So all this stuff, by the way, you want to hear on the theme of guys who drive people may not be the sharpest tack in the box or whatever it is. I was talking to Matt DeAndre, who flew out to Vegas the day before I did. I said, what time's your flight? It's like 11 o'clock. I'm like, geez, it's 10 now. He said, yeah, Uber's coming to get me right now. I said, dude, kind of pretty close. Well, that's just Burbank. And then I go, well, all right, cutting it close. I like that, though, but I guess that's what's good about Burbank. And then I'm talking to him, and he's like, I can hear him do the, yeah, I texted you the gate number, right, or whatever, whatever. And I hear him kind of, and then at some point, I hear him go, I hear Matt DeAndrea go, oh, well, if you have to, but I'm in kind of a rush.
Oh, no. He has to do a pickup?
He has to get gas.
Oh, no!
Burbank Airport, from where we sit, is 6.5 miles. That means you're picking up somebody it's not like, oh, well, we're going to the San Diego airport. No, I mean, it's like, it's literally 6 miles from here. Like, and you're picking the guy up. Like, this is what you do for a living. And you're taking him to the airport, which is probably not, you know, taking him to the mother-in-law's house.
By all means.
Get all the gas, car wash. Top off. But taking him to the airport is going to cause a little anxiety in the person that's going to the airport.
You're running his errands.
Gas.
Yeah, the promise of the ride-sharing status these days is not quite what it should be. Like, we have this vision of what the ride-sharing experience should be, Uber and Lyft and all that stuff. But, oh, man, now it's the point where when you call, it's like, oh, your nearest driver is 10 minutes away. It's like, well, don't pick me up then. I want the closer driver. Like, the guy that picks you up is like 10, 12 minutes away. They're taking the wrong route. They're stopping to get gas.
Always.
Your driver's dropping off another fare. No! When you're available, then you come get me.
Because we forget these are just dudes with cars. They're right. All of us. They're not professionals.
They're essentially unemployable dudes with cars.
The worst is they're dropping off another fare. They'll be with you soon. It's like, no, I want the guy who's available.
We had a dude pick us up when we were in like Nashville or wherever we were. It wasn't the Nashville guy, but we had a dude who picked us up. And it's like, there's like me, Mike August, and Mike Lynch coming from the airport, a bag of merch, you know, rolling merch and stuff, like pop the trunk, all filled with like collapsible strollers and a bassinet. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just when you head out that morning to do your airport runs and you're going to pick up people,
especially
with luggage and stuff. And then when you pop the trunk, why are you surprised?
Yeah.
Do you not know what's in the trunk of your camera?
Let me just shuffle the stuff aside.
No, it's always like, oh, yeah, hey, okay, hold on a second. Give me a hand. Yeah. It's like, you don't know. You're picking up people from the airport.
It's outrageous.
But it's why they're unemployable, right?
The only time we had that happen, I actually found it delightful. We were going to LAX from our house, and we popped the trunk, and we couldn't put our stuff in the trunk because it was full. But the dude who picked us up, the trunk was full of boas and very, very large clear heels.
Wow.
And I said, I like this guy. I'll hold my bag.
Well, I realized I was without my phone. Matt and Gary, you got to check this one and see how it works. And then I get home. I have no phone. There's anxiety sitting in the airport, not phone, not even realizing you're making your flight. You're sitting in the bar watching the Dodgers game. There's no clocks anywhere. Like, I had to keep asking people what time it was so I could go board. I'm not going to be able to listen to what I want to listen to on the plane and all that. I get
you're
over
racing
it.
Home to go trick or treating with your kids.
I want to go trick or treating with my kids. Yeah. I also, the way it works is, I'm sure we spent $50 on Philly cheesesteaks dog taco outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm putting them in that taco outfit, and we're hitting the town, because otherwise, we already got the electric knives for carving the pumpkins.
Every year.
They're still in the package this year.
Sure.
They're not being used. There's a lot of stuff. We're not exactly getting all the bang we can for a buck. So I'm putting Phil in this taco outfit that it cost me $40, and I'm taking him out trick-or-treating. And I end up going out, hooking up with Sonny's guys. The girls are with the girls, and the boys are with the boys. God bless Phil. I took him to this house. We were there for over an hour while he just stood around on the front lawn and hung out with people and let him pet him. He didn't get out of his taco outfit the whole night. Most dogs would have rubbed against stuff until it came off or whatever. Now, he's a mellow dude. He's in his taco outfit. We went home. I left him in his taco outfit for a while. He was digging it.
Maybe it's like a thunder shirt. You know, he likes the swaddle vibe.
Oh, I love a big dog, because all the little, you know, the little 5-year-old girls coming up and patting him on the head. And then he'd lick them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I got home for that. Now, I decided I don't have the number of the driver. If I call the company, they'll just put me on hold, because I've tried it before. So before I go to bed, or about 9 o'clock at night, I send an email to Matt DeAndrea, and Matt Fondelier saying, lost my phone in Vegas. They have contact numbers and stuff. Can you guys try the thing? Yeah. Not sure if that email went out.
Okay.
Don't know how it works.
Can check.
Gary can check. It's weird if it didn't, but it may not have, because when I woke up in the morning.
You said this was when, last night?
Last night, 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
When I got up in the morning, no response from anybody, so I'm assuming they didn't get the message, and then I hit up Matt about 9 in the morning, and I'm assuming the driver found. I'm assuming the next guy who got into the car
has a phone in
sat down. Right. It's a big iPhone 6 or 7 or whatever, and it's sliding around back there.
It
and
appears it was sent at 7:42.
Oh. Last night.
Correct.
Yeah.
To Fondelier and DeAndrea, I left my phone in the back of Keith's town car.
Okay. Mm. I didn't hear anything from either one until the next day. All right.
You did?
Yeah?
No? No. I thought you might. I thought for a moment you might have sent it to their wrong email address. It didn't, alternate email address, but it doesn't appear. It appears they both went to their Adam Carolla emails.
All right. All right. So anyway, they were having fun or doing whatever. It's fine. I get it. But I didn't get anything the next morning either, which is weird. I guess they're at partying. It was new, Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Big night.
All right. So the next morning I get up and I send them both another one. And then Matt reaches out. Matt Fondelier reaches out to the town car company. And, of course, they do the super unsatisfying. We can't get hold of the driver.
Yeah.
If we don't hear back from us an hour, then try again.
Sure.
Of course, you never hear back from him. Then an hour and a half goes by, and I don't hear anything either. So then I hit Matt again saying, go get on these guys and, like, kind of stay on them until we figure out what's going on with the phone. And he does. And at a certain point, Matt comes back and says, they got hold of the driver. He searched. No phone.
Wow.
So now I'm where I'm at in almost every facet of my life when something goes wrong. And this one's on me. This was my fault. Mm. But where can that phone be? I was talking on it as I got into the car, and then I walked straight from the outside of the car straight to security, and as I was unpacking, it was gone.
Right.
So it wasn't one of these things where, well, we did rent one of those pedal boats for a while.
Yeah.
So we're on the canal drinking pretty good.
Yeah.
But that was just till the sun went down. And then later on that day, I was in my hotel room.
We walked all around town.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that. And then and then the mechanical bull was awesome.
Was
and then
loud.
The bouncy castle was even more fun.
The Ferris wheel was sweet.
And because I've been drinking too much, obviously, the bouncy castle wasn't a good idea. But I was helped into the bathroom. And then we got into an Uber.
Yeah.
No, there was just like, I walked out of the guy's car. I walked to security. Right. And there was no phone. So I immediately knew, oh, it fell out of my... I'm wearing a hoodie. It's in the side pocket. It slid out and it slid onto the floor, whatever it is. So now no phone. And the drivers now went out and checked the car. There's no phone in the car. Now, we're in some weird no man's land, which is where I'm always at. Which is, how is it? It could be nowhere but the car, but the driver went and checked the car.
I'm going to throw out what is probably a side concern for you, but my primary concern, which would be phone out in the open. You don't have a passcode on your phone, famously. Are you at all worried about this?
No.
Okay.
Nothing on my phone that I'm aware of, but I don't know how
he gives
works.
All the famous people nicknames.
Yeah.
So they...
Emails from agents.
Now I'm starting to go down this road. I climb out of the town car in front of McCarran in Vegas. And as I do, the phone
falls onto the
concrete. It falls onto the sidewalk and I miss it and ignore it and tip the guy and turn around and leave. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, because you'd hear a ka-chunk.
I'm like, that's not me. I've never done that in my life. I've never done that. I can accept the part where I've set the phone down on the leather top and it slid over and fell between the crack and the whatever. But I can't accept that it just fell out on the ground. All right, so where is it? Where is it? Matt hits me, and Matt says, talk to the driver. Not in the car. Then I get this email. What is the email I get, Gary?
I presume it was Matt alerting you that we had found your phone via the Find My iPhone feature.
Ooh, somebody put that on for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. That's good.
Thank God.
So now I get this one from Matt.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
The driver doesn't have it, but a passenger has it.
Oh.
And we just pinged him.
Okay.
How does this work? The guy gets into the back of the car,
does not
sees a
the
phone
driver.
Sliding around in the back, and doesn't go, hey, it looks, I don't know who you just dropped off, but evidently they left their phone. Like, there is no other conclusion. There's a 1% chance of, I have the exact same phone Adam Carolla has with the exact same case Adam Carolla has, yeah. And that's my phone, even though my phone's in my pocket, right. But...
Yeah, that's less than 1%.
So
he found a phone that was unlocked, and but then again, the guys that end up in a town car are generally not in the phone stealing mode.
No. Now,
to be clear, at this point, Matt is making an assumption.
Making an assumption that somebody got into the town car.
Sorry. I thought we knew for a fact.
All we have for a fact at this point in the story is I have remotely locked the phone.
Smart.
Put my number as the contact number and then pinged it so it started making the annoying noise. And the gentleman has called me and told me he has the phone.
Oh, gentleman funny. Other than the driver.
A gentleman has called me. That is okay. The
other than the driver. It's got to be.
Yeah.
We'll say other than the driver.
I don't know for sure that it is other than the driver. But
if Matt talked to the driver and the driver said he searched the car and I can't find the phone, then yes. We're going to assume.
Right.
And the guy had an English accent, and this guy didn't have an English accent. You got to
No, it was Middle Eastern E. Hmm.
This is where you cause everyone to get fucking confused and want to kill themselves. The driver had an English accent. Matt said the driver said he searched a car and didn't have it. So you saying we can't rule out the driver as Brian would like to do so we could get on with our lives. I would like to go ahead at this stage and rule out the driver.
I did not have that information. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now you do. So, who is this guy who has my phone and who evidently had it and had no plans of returning it back to the company or the town car driver?
Until shady. Pinged.
It's shady. Ooh, we could call your phone and see if he picks up. Have a little chit-chat.
I don't know. Give it a try, Gary.
Well, I've got his personal number.
Oh, let's call it.
Yay.
Well, give him a call. Yeah, let's see if we can figure this one out. And
right
we don't know...
Source.
Maybe. Okay, so is this town car company...
Now, hold on a sec. Okay. Hold on a sec. If he was a nefarious... If this is something nefarious, why would he call Gary back?
Yeah.
Yes?
Well, once the phone's locked, you're as holder of the phone, you're that's it. There's nothing to do with it.
Or maybe he hasn't negotiated...
I did that math, but if he's a bad dude, why doesn't he just throw it away?
My theory... Operating on nothing other than British driver turned the car into company. His shift was over, his 8-hour shift of driving for the day. Middle Eastern fellow, man number two, next driver inspected the car,
I like that.
Found it.
I like that.
All right.
He could have told his manager, but
could have. Yeah,
right.
Maybe.
I just want to jump in here. I know we're jumping ahead in the story a little bit, but FYI, DeAndrea is now less than 10 minutes away from this person's house.
Okay.
So I've tried calling him within the last couple minutes to give him the 10-minute nod, and he is not picking up his phone. DeAndrea also has that guy's number. He's not picking up that phone. So we're going to find out. Stay tuned.
All right, well, I would like...
I hope we talk to the guy while he still has
I would
the phone.
Like thoughts on this and the Asian broad who snubbed me on the Southwest flight.
They're in cahoots?
They could be working together. Well, there's a higher than likely chance. Yes, it's not 100%, but there's probably in the low 60s.
One could assume.
Mid 70s.
Left the nest.
So, okay, I like the idea that this guy, Keith, turned in the car.
Right.
And that some guy was in charge of vacuuming it or something.
This is my thought.
Found it and thought, this is, maybe I can sell this. Then when it got locked off, although I should have just told Gary that last night, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if you'd alerted me last night, I would have been able to remotely lock it.
Well,
live and learn.
Sent two emails out to two guys named Matt. I thought I had a little something back.
Sorry.
Okay. But... Then this guy got pinged, and the phone got locked. And I understand, now it's worthless, but why are you returning the phone call? Wouldn't you just throw it away and get on with your life, or could it be traced back to him somehow?
Oh, yeah, because you can see where the phone is.
You can track it
to his corner, you know, where he is.
And maybe he needs to...
On the Find My Phone app, I can look right now and see where Christie is.
Right.
Because we're all part of the same iTunes.
Mm-hmm. In the arms of another man.
Yeah, that's right.
Gary, what do you think?
I think that once we pinged it, he kind of went, damn, they know where it is exactly and can pinpoint it on GPS, so maybe it's just easier to call them. And
the jig is up.
What percentage of people that are engaged in this, though, just wouldn't do what I do, which is I slap it onto the back of a wild horse and I yell, get, go on, get. It just gallops off into the mountains. And then Matt DeAndre's following the horse up the side of the mountain in his rented car.
Practical joke enjoyed by one person.
I don't know. I mean, he could have just as easily turned the thing off.
Right. That's what I'm.
But as soon as it goes back on, it's back on the grid.
No, I get it. I'm curious about the part where he just returned the phone call. That's just the part that's confusing. Like if I was the thief and it started pinging, I think I just shut it off and throw it in the gutter and keep walking.
You say thief, I say
opportunity.
Yes, criminal opportunity. You know what I mean? I don't think he's like another day, another phone stolen. It's like, oh, look what fell into my lap.
Your iPad has on the back, if found, please return to, and an address and a phone number. I don't think your phone does. So it could have been out of laziness that he took it, not intending to steal it, and then when it presented to him, here is how you get it back, just push this button, this is how you be a good person, then he went, okay, I'll push this button.
All right.
It could be out of just like,
now,
they'll find
now
it. They'll
that is your intent, and you work for the town car company, though, why not just hand it to the manager before you leave?
Somebody deal with this. Why are we skipping the fact that he could be waiting for Matt to negotiate the price?
The surrender?
Exactly.
I don't know.
So he might need to have a personal conversation. What is this phone worth to you, sir?
Here's a hat from the Ford booth.
Thank you.
We'll have to get an update from Matt when it when it happens.
He better be loaded with answers.
Preferably a live update.
All right. We'll do that.
You don't need permission in Nevada to record a conversation.
That's
Matt can just have his phone going.
No, you do. Not in Nevada, but if you can't call from L.A.
Matt can
and record
us.
It.
Matt could have his phone going and call us.
Yeah, just have it on in his pocket and talk to this dude and be like, what's up?
Yeah, I did. Believe me, I did Crank Anchors and I explored doing calls where we routed calls from Vegas to LA or whatever, just skirt around because you can't call. There's about 8 or 10 states where you can, and then the rest you can't call from those states or both sides.
Because we will be, California will be receiving the call.
We had to call from a place that could make those calls, and we had to call places that could make and receive those calls.
California's
it had to be both, but either way. All right, let's see. Leaving out candy real fast. All right, let me just blow through these calls. Craig, 41, Turlock. Oh, is Craig up?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. What's going on, Craig?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I just, hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I just was calling to say, you know, I was listening to the podcast this morning right after Halloween, and you guys were talking about just the humanity and leaving out the take one thing. I did that last night. I do have a ring on my doorbell.
That's a good
control experiment.
Yeah, the problem is, though, it doesn't record after the fact. I can't go back and look at what happened on the motion. So I can't tell exactly what happened, but there were only two motions that were set off last night. I left out a bag that I got at Costco. There was 150 pieces of good candy, and I came back, and it wasn't like I came back late. I was probably gone from 6 to 8 to... Two motions went off, and all 150 pieces were gone. So somebody there and
I would like to have a stronger opinion on this, but I don't. And the reason I don't is because when I was a kid, if somebody left out a plastic pumpkin filled with candy and said, "Please take one," somewhere in the top 3 or 4. Kids that went by that porch would take the whole thing.
Yeah, just take the bowl.
It never works.
It never works. It never did. It never would throughout history. The more the stories I don't like are the ones where you hear the story about the little girl and she opened up a lemonade stand and the city made her turn in a permit. Right. She had to apply for a business license to do those are the stories I hate because in the past, You never would have heard of a little 9-year-old girl opening a lemonade stand on the corner to raise money for her brownie troop, and the city required her to get a business license. Yeah. Those are the stories I hate.
You said never throughout history, which is true, but maybe now, with the advent of the Ring doorbell, maybe now the sign says, take one, please only take one. You're on Ring video.
We're
doorbell or whatever.
But this was Nest. Previously discussed, which is every kid showing up and they're wearing a George Bush pullover mask or Richard Nixon President. Or whatever the kids are doing these days. Yeah, whatever they did on Point Break. If every kid's pulled
Woodrow
up
Wilson.
In an out, in an outfit, then who cares?
Yeah.
All right.
Damn.
Let me tell you about True Car, and then we'll do a little good sports. True Car, man. True Car. Yeah, the users save a lot of money. 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you got to go with True Car. You get the upfront pricing. You get off the list price. You get a better buying experience. You see what other people's paid for the exact same car. Apples to apples. And you lock in your price. You get your information. No more haggling. No more getting taken advantage of at the dealer. You find your local certified dealer. Enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. When you're ready to buy new or used, you visit True Car. You hop online, design it, figure it out. Figure out whatever the configuration is. Leather interior, cloth interior, you want the four banger, you want the V6. You get the same car. You find out what other people paid for the same car. You lock in your price. You pick it up. So easy at True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right, let's see. Let me just blow through the calls, and then yes.
Before you do that, we did get tweeted a picture. I don't know if you saw it. The guy who left out the two baskets in Texas. One said Astro fans with all the best candies in the world, and the other basket said Dodger fans, and it was boxes of raisins.
The box of raisins.
It was great.
Yeah, and the outside raisins taste a little like cardboard, too.
Yep.
Spencer, 27, Denver.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
What's going on?
I got a rich man, poor man for you. But first, can I tell you about some flashing yellow signals in the Midwest that I discovered? So you talk about the flashing yellow arrows, but in lower traffic times, I think it's probably between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. In Denver and in Omaha, I've seen the solid yellow lights flashing in one direction and a flashing red light in the other direction.
Oh,
so
boy.
On the main thoroughfares, you get smoother traffic flow, and the cross sections only have to stop
There's been a million studies on traffic and what moves things and what's effective, what's not effective. It's not always intuitive, but there certain things work, certain things don't work, and all the data's in. Now all we need to do is implement it as a city with the worst traffic in the world. Yet.
Nope.
Little to no interest in implementing it. All right, rich man, poor man, Spencer.
So no front or backyards. You have your poor man who lives in the trailer park and doesn't have any yard, and then your rich man who lives in a high-rise condo in a downtown
That's
area.
Pretty good.
The only problem with this is everyone lives in apartments in the same boat.
Yeah, yeah. But it does, those two specific groups, but yes, I agree, everyone in apartments in the same boat.
In a way, it almost makes more sense to do a big backyard.
Yeah, now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of property. You're there in the middle of nowhere where no one wants to be.
Right.
Where you got the
or you have an
palatial.
Estate.
Right. All right.
We fixed it for you, Spencer.
You're welcome, Spencer.
Day 46, Virginia.
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, man.
I've been listening to you for 20-some years now, and I value your opinion.
Thank
over
you.
Pretty much anybody else, unlike
Good.
Ray.
You'd make a horrible family member.
So I've been thinking about I kind of want to get a motorcycle. I had one in college, you know, maybe an old...
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Forgot about this.
See what you did, Dave?
My stepdad kind of goes around, fixes all the little stuff, does all the little things. He's like a tinkerer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I notice... Last time I saw him about 4 months ago, he had a piece of small notebook paper. And I mean notebook. I mean like the little pad paper that a cop would use. Yeah, notepad. But this stuff, the real small one, want to fit right in your front pocket, right in your breast pocket. You know, this thing is 3 inches wide by 5 inches tall. And it's just paper. And he's got it out, and he's making his little chicken scratches on it. Oh, we got to remember to, you know, do put the thing on the trickle charger, whatever it is. And I give him this 20-minute speech about, John, get the buck slips. Get the buck slips. I'm telling you, get the buck slips.
But he has a system.
You just go online. It's the same system, except for yours you can't write on because it's literally paper. It's like falling apart. You have to put it on something, whatever. You get that buck slip.
Nice card
stuff. Perfect. Perfect.
You'll get him a promo code. 15% off.
That's right. Go online and just get that. And we talk. And then, like, I go to the, like, my office and I pull one out. I go, this is great. The buck slip is a fucking perfect metaphor for me because I walk around people all the time. I go, these things are great. These things are great. You get, they're hard. They got some heft to them. You can ride on them. You keep them with you. Throw one in your car. Keep one of this and that. By the way, Gary, we're expanding the buck slip empire.
What?
I had this thought. I got a lot of buck slips that have like business junk, just, you know, get Phil's taco outfit fixed and you know, get
that business.
Business. Business. Real business. No, set the outdoor lights. It's like, you know, I don't live with anyone who would ever. The outdoor lights, the garden lights could go on at sunup and go off when the sun came down for 200,000 years, and there's nobody in my house who would notice it except for me. But if they're on, like, it's weird when you have a house. They're on during the day, and then they're not on at night. And so on the buck slip goes, set timer on, you know. But I realized I got one, and then I got my show buck slip.
Oh, boy.
With stories like
packed.
Me standing in my kitchen this morning, getting the kids off. Lynette's out of town. So I was getting the kids off to school. And Natalia went, here's the difference between Sonny and Natalia. Daddy, can we go to Uncle Jimmy? I want to take my friend and go see his show. Can we go tonight? Can we go tonight? What's Jimmy? I go, I got to check my schedule. And then at a certain point, there's Sonny and Natalia. Sonny's dying to go see Uncle Jimmy. She wants to go see his show. She wants to show off with her friend. She wants to go backstage. And at a certain point, I go, wait a minute. But Jimmy's got guest hosts all this week. He's not.
Say, who's on the show, who's on the roster? Tonight?
He's not there this week. Well, they want to go see their Uncle Jimmy. They want to see their Uncle Jimmy, and they went to backstage, and they want to go up to the dressing room.
Full
and
treatment.
The office and everything. They went to full treatment. I said, yeah, you're not going to get the full treatment. I don't know, Dave Grohl's hosting or whoever's hosting. That's not going to work. So I said, so Sonny and Natalia are just both sitting there eating their yogurt, and I'm sitting in the middle of them, and I said, Natalia, now, Jimmy's son, Billy, he's going to have heart surgery. And because he has to have heart surgery, Jimmy has to take off, and he's going to be gone, so we can't go to the show. And Sonny says, is Billy going to be okay? And Natalia says, is Jimmy going to be back Monday?
Oh, God.
And I thought, well, I just got a little window.
Yeah, he's got a parallel.
I got a little window.
Get a little shiver down my spine.
I get a little window into how the brain's working over there. That's a little what they call an indicator.
A bit of a tell.
Yeah.
But she's such a sweet girl, but she's got a priority right now.
She is, but her mind is on, I got to get to that theater. Yeah. Not how's little Billy?
Not come on.
Little Billy doing. All right. So, I went to the next room. I got my buck slip out. I gave a 20-minute dissertation on buck slips. And then last weekend when my stepdad was over, he just happily pulled the shriveled piece of paper out again and started writing on it, in which case I gave him the same buck slip story. I don't really mind the part where they go to the grave without ever getting a buck slip. I mind the part where we had a 20-minute dissertation about it, and you pulled your shriveled condom out and started writing on it with your golf pencil again. That's the part I find interesting. Like, really? No? If somebody really told me about something, I'd feel super weird about, like, going into their house again with, like, if somebody told me, you know, if I walked in with a fanny pack and they explained how lame a fanny pack was and how much better it was to get this or get that. If I was walking in with the fanny pack like the next time, that's weird about
it. But this
time
it lights up.
All right.
Ooh, buck slip's not a bad stocking stuffer for your father-in-law.
No. Here's my new thing. DeAndrea has an update. Here's my new thing. I want different colored buck slips. because I keep having a buck slip for all the fix the lights in the back and fix the this and fix the that at the house versus the other buck slip, which is a bunch of jokes and a bunch of ideas and a bunch of stuff for the show. And I bet people have like stuff for the kids. This is what you need for the kids. And this is like household stuff or whatever it is. And I end up getting the wrong, but I'm mixing and matching. If I went with a white buck slip and like just a very light blue one for house or vice versa or whatever, then I would know immediately which one's which. Write it down, Gary. All right. We're going to have an update on the whole story, on the whole phone story. I don't know what's going on. I got to say I'm a little nervous and apprehensive. We'll do good sports, and we'll be back with the conclusion of the phone after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Let me say, I'll self-plug for a second here. Dave Damashek football program available on iTunes and NFL.com/podcasts. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, Matt Money-Smith. We pick all the games. We kibitz about football and the game of life. And we are very much in love with, there's some great brother tandems in the NFL, Ace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love Martellus and Michael Bennett. Everybody knows about the Harbaughs. Everybody knows about the Mannings. These Longs, though, and you have one Chris Long coming up on Take a Knee.
Yeah. I'm.
You're going to fall. Let me just say something, Ace. I have pretty good instincts with this stuff. You're going to fall very much in love.
Was one of the Long brothers, did they do that sort of 30, not 30 for 30, but sort of mini docy kind of thing where they went homeless for a couple of days?
Yes, that's Chris.
And wandered the streets and all that kind of stuff.
That's Chris.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, he's, I mean, listen, he's as thoughtful a guy on in both senses of the word, thoughtful. A guy
Renaissance
as
man.
He really, I mean, he really is. And the thing that, if nothing else, that you will be able to kibitz about till, what's it, the cows come home?
Yes.
The he loves uniforms. He and I go back and forth on the Twitter about what, and he gets it all, Ace. He gets the face mask. He understands that the LA Rams need that royal blue color and all that, but he also understands, unlike most people, like that the Navy face mask disrupts the whole thing. It needs the gray face mask to sing. Oh, you guys are going to get on famously.
I can't wait.
His brother Kyle was a great pitcher. At Oregon or where no, he was in Florida State, and then he went to Oregon. He shifted into being an offensive lineman, but he was drafted by the White Sox. Now imagine this. He was drafted as a mid-90s throwing lefty by the Chicago White Sox. He eschews their advances in favor of going to the Chicago Bears. I sat with Kyle once, and I had him pen an apology note to the White Sox. Imagine that in your own backyard. Like, we drafted you, but we're not good enough for you, but the Bears are.
Not only that, is there anybody else other than Nate Newton who was drafted as a pitcher? I'm making that up.
I was going to say, what?
He's 400 pounds.
Nate Newton, the Cowboys guy.
No. Is there anybody? That's how insane it is. Is there anybody else who played interior line?
I can't imagine
especially
that that's
on the
true.
Offensive side of the ball.
I can't
that's
imagine.
Insane.
Because when you see him now in present day, Kyle Long is obviously built like an offensive lineman. So it's impossible to look at him and say, like, oh, I could see it being a wiry guy out there on the hump bringing the mid-90s heat.
Totally never. I mean, I'm sure people listening could summon an example or two, but I can't think of anybody. You know, maybe a catcher a third baseman, a first baseman, you know, big dude kind of thing like that. But pitcher, you know, two linemen, offensive linemen, NFL. That's
to keep on name dropping. I was talking to David Carr, the first overall pick ever for the Houston Texans, and brother of Derek Carr, now star for the Raiders, of course. And I said, isn't it weird that there aren't? I said, can. What's easier for to turn an NFL quarterback into a major league pitcher or vice versa? And he said neither. He said he said I've talked with guys who can throw either. I have a friend who throws high 90s, but when he tries to throw a football, he can't even throw a spiral with it.
Right?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you would think.
What do you think, Ace? Should we do a little? But anyway, have uniform talk with him. He's the best. He's got a lot of range in number two. He went from 91 when he was drafted with the Rams. He now wears 56.
Yeah. It's a weird number for a defensive lineman, right?
It doesn't look right on a defensive end. You can let him know I said that, too. And, you know, and no apologies forthcoming on that front. What do you want to do here, Ace? You want to do a little win, play, show? The people have weighed in. We contacted them, and they have responded and how with some win, play, show, some upon further review. What do you want to kibitz about?
Let's do a win, play, show.
Win, play, show. This one comes to us from... right out of the gate, a hardball. I mean, this is talk about throwing high heat. Here we go. Mark McDonough on Twitter asks, win, play, show, sausage, bacon, ham.
Mm. I will say this.
sausage, you can have any day. One you put in number one position.
Yeah.
Anytime you want for the rest of your life.
I will say this.
Number two, once every 2 months. The other one, never again.
Let me drill down on your sausage for a minute.
Please do.
All right, let's dig deep with the sausage.
Take your time.
All right. I just got back from a Polish joint in Minneapolis called Crammer Chuck's.
Ooh, I got to write that down because I'm going to be up there for the Super Bowl.
And it's the best. It's all there. Like for those who you want the stuffed cabbage, you want the
I love it.
You want the sausage. You get sauerkraut. You can't get sauerkraut in like Los Angeles. You get the pierogies with the cheese in them. I mean, it's goulash. You get the goulash. We just go through there. Me, Mike August, and Mike Lynch, you just load up on everything. The red kraut, you know, salad, everything. All the potatoes. Stuff. We could go on for a week. Like, what's better, stuffed bell pepper or stuffed cabbage? They got them both. Get them both. And you just, it's the best. So, August is loading up his plate. We're going like family style. He gets the sausage, but he gets the kielbasa, which is like the dark red, brown red, you know, darker one. And then he gets the bratwurst, which is the kind of, I think, like the it's a lighter, beigier, whatever. I think it's got some veal or something in it, whatever. I tell him I much prefer the kielbasa, the darker, than the light.
That is the correct choice.
And that's the correct choice. He then does the Mike August thing, which is like sort of doesn't hear me or whatever. Then when we sit down at the table, I say, all right, now hand over the kielbasa. That's the one I like with the brown mustard and everything and the kraut. And you can taste it right now, right? And he goes, oh, we're going to share them. And I said, yeah, but I don't really care. I like this one, but I'm not a big fan of that one. And he goes, yeah, but we'll share. Then he takes a bite out of my kielbasa and goes, oh, this one's great. And then he proceeds to eat most of my kielbasa and then all of the other brat, too. So
he's a remorseless eating machine, as if it matters which tube meat he's consuming.
Yeah, well, I wanted the one and not the other, and he just ate most of mine and all of his. And by the way, how do you make it to whatever age he is and not declare a winner in the sausage party? You know what I mean? Like,
never thought about it.
For me, yeah, he's never thought about it because he just eats everything. But my thing is, like, I like the kielbasa quite a bit more than I like the brat, so give me the kielbasa. And he doesn't know. He just, I'll take everything. So anyway, sausage, bacon, and what was the third?
Bone-in ham. I'm throwing the bone-in ham because that's the secret breakfast meat that people ignore.
It's ignored. It's like one of those things where you have to go to Canada or something to really.
I don't know where people's heads are on this thing. Do yourself a favor with the holiday season fast approaching. If you have a ham, make sure you pull a little off to the side, throw it in the fridge, hide it away so Uncle Mike doesn't get to it, and instead pull it out the next morning. car, you know, get some shaved pieces in there, throw them in a pan, heat them up, call me and thank me later.
All right. Bacon is great. It's not as good as sausage or even the bone in ham just for breakfast. If we're just limiting to breakfast, but this is life, right?
Yeah, I guess. Now it's going to get muddy, isn't it?
The bacon has a lot of different applications.
Yeah, you're right.
And also, bacon is enjoyed more casually than ham and sausage. Ham and sausage, that's a marriage. Bacon's a date. We'll say things, same thing. Like, my wife makes my daughter bacon for breakfast, and I walk past her like into the next room and snatch one off and keep walking. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a very casual. That's a daytime date. No commitment there. Uh-huh. The sausage and the ham, especially, you got to sit down.
Yeah,
there's no version where my daughter's eating ham and I walk by and grab, you know, wrestle a piece off and eat it with my hand.
Yeah, you don't grab the spatula, cut off a third of the sausage and continue with your day. You don't do that.
It doesn't do it. So the bacon is a lot more mobile, and it also, it can be spread out. I mean,
you can have on a burger, on a lettuce.
On a burger, pieces of it sometimes, on a deviled egg or something. It just keeps going and going and going. So,
I don't love the fact, though. You're
going to limit this to breakfast?
Well, no, I'm just a little... No. But I am, I guess I skew a little hipster on this, like with an indie band. Like I always say, you know, when it goes major label, you know, the people who were on board early on tend to resent their popularity. Bacon's gotten a little too cool. Like everybody's in on it. Everybody's got their jokes. Bacon on everything. Every Johnny come lately, you know, loves to announce they love bacon. Oh, listen, I was in on bacon. You know,
I'm going to say this. Sausage, I'm going to flip the script because I say on my hot dogs, I like the casing and I like the snap. But
don't
on the
you
sausage.
Do don't you do this. Don't you do what I fear is going
like
to come out of your...
I uncased sausage that drinks up the syrup on the plate.
You're not saying patty, though, are you?
I like the patty a lot. I like the patty a lot. But we're sticking to the sausage form.
Go.
We're sticking to the sausage form. The patty's good when it's between a couple of
Gary,
an
we,
egg and
can
some
we
cheese.
Just, let's just forget the rest of the week. And I mean, I'm willing to go fresh start next week if
I
we have to.
Think
but
I'm end this show.
I'm
I mean,
gonna
I don't
go
know.
Bacon. All right,
sausage patty. Who's it?
I'm
who's the
go,
Adam Carolla impersonator here? Because I don't buy this nonsense.
I like the flavor of it. I'm gonna go bacon, sausage, ham. Now, if you gave me one breakfast, I'd probably reverse the order, although sausage wouldn't move. But if you said you get one breakfast, you're going to the electric chair, I say, give me ham. If you say throughout a lifetime of all the times I walk past Natalia's plate and she screams at me when I snatch up a piece of bacon and walk into my office, I got to go bacon.
I hear you. By the way, pro tip, Ace, and for anyone else who enjoys the Polish kielbasa, do not limit yourself to just a trip to the Polish restaurant. It's in every grocery store. It's right there next to the bacon is the Polish kielbasa. So often people walk by it and they never put two and two together. Grab that. You don't have to get a bun for it and eat it like at a barbecue. Here's what you do. You slice it up into medallions.
Scramble it with some eggs.
Throw it into the pan. Your kids will go wild for it. Mine do.
Yeah.
You know who else does? The man in the mirror. All right. Let's bring it home with the Friday episode. Listen to that tomorrow on the Adam Carolla Show, Podcast One Sports. Good sports.
Good sports.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Lars Sewell, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, Steve from Vegas here. Got a rich man, poor man for you. Having two or more women pregnant with your child at the same time. You're either some deadbeat running around public housing who knows that the state's going to take care of all your kids anyway, or you're some rich baller that plays some sort of professional sport and paying off another baby's mama ain't going to make much of a difference to you. What do you think?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I like where this guy's head's at. Either you're some young, brash black guy, or you're some young, brash black guy.
Yeah.
That was the implication. A lot of range in there.
All right. We're waiting. Fondelier's waiting to sort out DeAndrea over there. It's not looking good.
If you want to see your friend Matt again.
We're going to find out what's going on here. To make a long story short, we once again pinged Adam's phone, which did generate an answer from this guy. He said that he works nights, so he's been sleeping. That's why he has not been picking up the phone for the last half an hour, as Matt DeAndrea has been getting closer. I then said, my guy is on the ground right now. What are you wearing? What kind of shirt are you wearing? Cannot understand him. The volume's like super low. He's got a super thick accent, but he's insisting. He's like, I'm here. I'm looking for your guy. So during the break, I just talked to DeAndrea again. I said, this guy's waiting for you.
This is the short
Shady
version.
AF. I think we should call him.
What?
Needless to say, DeAndrea is not very happy either.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be at SEMA doing interviews. I'm still, any speculation as to why this guy has the phone on him?
Window of negligence.
Mm-hmm.
I did overhear, I think you were saying, perchance it's the guy who cleaned the car, one of the vacuumers at the end of the night.
Took over the car shift in one way or another from the British felt. That was my theory.
But that's my only thought.
Protocol is if you find a customer's phone, go home and take a nap. Like, yep, that's protocol. Or wouldn't protocol suggest like setting it on the dash? Or
I'll go to eBay when I wake up.
Adding to the confusion of all this, the address that he gave appears to be a phone store.
This is very
now, he gave a unit number, but it's not like an apartment complex. If you do the Google view, it's like part of a shopping center.
This is a little awkward, I guess, because it's on the air. But Matt, I do have the option to change the number to DeAndrea's thing and then ping it again so that when he calls, he'll call directly to DeAndrea. Should I do that?
I don't know. I'll wait for another angry call from DeAndrea before we do that.
You got a couple of Chloes from 24 here. This is very exciting.
Extra step.
Hacking into the mainframe.
Start knocking on doors.
The phone has not moved since we found it, which is encouraging.
I'm also wondering, I don't think the guy's a criminal, but I wonder what I can't wrap my mind around, like, a lot of adults who do a lot of stuff where they go like, you want to say, how did you think this was going to work out? You know what I mean? Like, the electrician's coming Friday at 10 o'clock and then right around, and then at some point he never shows up, and at some point you call somebody, and at some point they run the guy down, and it's like, oh yeah, he's going bass fishing. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen? I was just going to somehow know you weren't going to be around. Or
I'd lose interest in my phone.
Come see.
Yeah,
I don't really need it. Like, same with you. Like, if I had your phone, you wouldn't want it back, would you? You'd hope that whoever had it slept in all day or never answered the phone. Like,
the best case scenario.
This is kind of weird. The relationship that people have with reality.
Yes.
For many people who are out there functioning in society, it's a very loose affiliation with reality. Just their takes on things, you know, they'll hear stuff like, you know, I think OJ's innocent, you know, or I think, you know, just like whatever their thoughts are, they have this weird, very tenuous relationship with reality.
Also, a common thread is the other side of whatever interaction it is, whether it's business transaction, a personal interaction, whatever it is, they hope the other person or thing just goes away.
Oh, yeah.
I deal with that all day, every day. And it's like, yes, whether I'm at the gate and you're looking at your clipboard and you're going, no, not
never
here.
Heard of
no,
me.
Not never here. I know you think I'm going to go, you got to try.
Meeting canceled.
You can't get onto the lot if you don't try. I'll just put it in reverse. I'm heading over to Hollywood Center to give it another shot. Thanks, Paramount. Like, no, I need to get onto the lot. I'm filming something. Like, yes, this. I'm able to just go away.
That's a common thread, I think.
All right. I'm going to make myself better, feel better at least. We'll keep you posted with this. First, I'll tell you about how Rotten Tomatoes over here. The game is brought to you by Tommy John. Tommy John, big news, man. Brand new, revolutionary, wallet-friendly underwear. The fabric can go anywhere. Speaking of traveling, you can roll this stuff up. Size of a soda can, man. Maybe even smaller. Perfect. It's perfect. It's Tommy John, man. Enter the world of Tommy John. You'll never be disappointed. Everything I have that's Tommy John is great. Underpants are great. The socks are great. Now they have these kind of, I don't know. I'm almost liking them to my long johns I wear under my racing suits. They're nice for jammy. Good jammy wear. What do they call those back in the day?
Footy pajamas?
No.
Yeah, like that. We'll figure that one out.
They're the long johns.
What
long
if I start
johns.
Snapping again?
Long johns. There you go. Long johns.
Oh,
yep. Amazing innovations. Horizontal, quick draw fly, contour pouch. They come with the no wedgie guarantee. This stuff's just the best. It's engineered for a multi-directional stretch. It's anti-odor, moisture wicking, never rides up. You will never go back to whatever underwear you're wearing right now unless you're wearing Tommy John. And it all costs about $10. And the first pair is covered by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee. It is Tommy John Dawson.
Go to TommyJohn.com now to check out the complete line of Go Anywhere underwear, shirts, and socks. Use code Adam and save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com, code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com, code Adam.
Yeah.
We got your phone back.
Okay.
Did we get the phone? Yes, we figured out a little bit more here.
Uh-huh.
So this guy gets the cars at the end of the night. He's the guy who cleans them.
Good for Brian.
He did try to return the phone to the office this morning, but nobody was at the office.
Okay.
So he claims. So he took
That's
the phone
a weird
back.
Thing not to...
Also, I didn't go to the office.
And he does, in fact, live like in a shady apartment above a general dollar store in a strip
mall. Well, hold on. So, normally, the guys who clean town cars at the end of a day...
Yeah.
In Henderson County, live in rolling estates.
Yeah, so this is an exception that proves the rule, I guess.
So just to wrap things up, DeAndrea is now going to FedEx overnight here to our studio because you've got to be here first thing tomorrow for some shows anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, very good. And I'll send Matt an email. And
on your phone.
Send him an email. Tell him thank you very much. And to get on top of that Datsun that the guy wanted to sell us in the parking lot.
Before I give him the thank you, just get your hot take on this. DeAndrea gave the guy $20.
How
do you feel about this?
I feel pretty. If he got the phone and tried to, if his story is what it was, then he probably deserves more than $20. On the other hand,
I'm it
fine.
Is what it is.
It's his $20. He can do with it what he wants.
Oh, no, he should invoice for it.
Let's go ahead and look at it. All right, let's play the game.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. It can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Got some names of flicks, and the game makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
And this round of the Rotten Tomatoes game is a underwear themed movie round.
Okay.
And brought to you by Tommy John. Remember, use code Adam at TommyJohn.com for 20% off. Her first movie. Starring Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. It's about sex and stuff, I guess. Secret societies.
Indeed.
Oh. Yeah. Nicole Kidman's in her underwear. 1999's Eyes Wide Shut.
Stanley Kubrick's final film.
I'm one of the few people who never saw this movie.
Oh. You're not that few. I haven't seen it either.
What?
You know why you have to see this movie? For a movie that was not widely seen or as popular as we'd like, it gets referenced a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Eyes Wide Shut party or whatever
Iconic
it is.
Orgy.
Yeah. So people use it as a reference. What did I say?
I hope, man, I hope Adam stepped on that.
Iconic orgy.
It was an iconic orgy
yes.
scene.
Yes.
It was a what?
Huh?
So you have to see it because people reference it
right.
a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe you
it's
never
in
saw
the zeitgeist.
It.
People like it. They didn't love it, but some people did. I think this was a very divisive, or let's say on MSNBC, divisive. So, but his last, but did they know it was his last?
He died before it came out.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Finished.
Okay, good.
And remember the famous trailer
so
got, with
they, yeah, yeah.
just the one piano note the whole time? Very
yes.
stressful.
They got to give a little love to him because
yeah.
he died. I mean,
come
on, this
darling,
is tough.
It's
critical darling. So for that, I'm going to add on. I would say this could be in the high 50s, mid 60s, but they got to tack on a little bit because Kubrick, 79.
82.
83.
Eyes Wide Shut is certified fresh. At 74%.
Ooh, interesting.
Wow. 73 of the people, all right.
Next up, on the run from a bank robbery, left several police officers dead. George Clooney and some other guy wind up at a place where vampires lived.
Huh, oh, yeah. Quentin Tarantino's the other guy.
There we go. And the movie, Selma Hayek is in her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
In 1996, is From Dusk Till Dawn.
I love this movie.
Forgot about this movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's a really fun movie.
Isn't Rose McGowan in this?
No.
Oh, what's
Sadly.
That?
Sadly. You're thinking of that terrible movie.
Till Sunset or something?
No, no. You're thinking of the Jorge Esperanza, whatever, the stupid
perhaps,
dude,
perhaps.
The Mexican director guy does all that.
Rob Rodriguez?
Rugged Town or whatever, the stupid. All everyone's smoking and it's raining all the time. And that's a Rose. Oh, no. The Rose McGowan, Death Trap.
Proof. She was in, it's not.
Death Proof
or
whatever.
That's one of them, but I think it's different.
All right, anyway.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right, Selma's
Here's
wearing a bikini, by the way. I think it counts as underpants, but it'll work.
I don't mind looking at it.
I don't mind looking at it either. Great.
Her name is like Santangelo Pandemonium or something
Excuse
like that.
Excuse me?
That's
Planet
like
Terror, so says Gary. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to say this movie's a fun movie.
This is just a very fun movie. This was right off of Pulp Fiction. This was his next project, like the next thing he was in. So he was,
hot. It's fun, and I don't know, and it's also it's kind of like, hey, it's a fun genre and stuff like that. I don't know if I could find a problem with it, but also it's not going to be, you know, critics aren't going to love it. But it was fun, the Latin flavor and everything.
Yep.
I'm gonna say 82.
I'm very close. It's a fun movie, but I think it threw off a lot of critics. 77.
I never saw it. I don't know much about it. I said 68.
From Dusk Till Dawn is fresh. It's 64%.
Oh, yeah. Second.
Yeah, Gina's right. Too much violence. Yeah.
Also,
or something.
I don't know how well you remember this movie, but it starts off like the two brothers are on the run. They're on the road. It's kind of a hardcore, like almost like a crime
thriller.
Yeah,
then
thriller.
it turns into something
this silly, you know, very over the top vampire special effects movie. Like two movies in one. I loved it. It was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. All right.
By the way, I don't know if anyone remembers this. The movie I was thinking of was called The Doom Generation. That's the first thing I ever saw her in. Anyway,
old cut.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Our next
Wait a minute. I may have been in that movie.
What?
What?
94, I think?
Yeah. Well, look it up.
Oh, please do.
There was a guy. There was an Asian guy who made those little art housey Kevin Smith-esque films. And I was in one of them.
Oh, my God.
But sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What's the Asian?
Greg Araki, is it?
Greg Araki.
Oh, were you in this?
I could have been.
Amazing.
And I'm not being flippant. I'm saying I was in something like it.
You're not on the IMDb.
Oh. What? And then I'm in the next Greg Araki film.
Let's only do those in Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Next up, takes place in deep space. Sigourney Weaver gets taken out of cryo sleep capsule halfway through their journey because of a distress call. She's distressed in her panties.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. In 1979's Alien.
All right.
We got to stop the show for this.
Look, this is a great movie. Critics had to love this movie. But now, what was it? Was it 96%? Was it 89%?
I always use this as an example of two things. Perfect movies, movies that can't be improved in any way. And number two, movies that hold up. This is 1979, and this will give you sweaty palms. You watch it today.
Okay.
Yeah, I will.
97, and a female hero. 97%.
No, you're probably right. I said 96.
I also said 96.
Alien is certified fresh at 97%.
I needed that 5-point deduction after that last one. Wow.
What a great movie.
We're getting close here.
Next up, Jason Biggs is watching Shannon Elizabeth in her underwear in the next room, I guess. A movie I haven't seen.
She's
1999, yeah, something like that. He's watching her on a computer.
That's right.
And it's weird because she's right there, but it's on a computer.
Oh, my God, Gary, find her Russian accent. You want to hear some acting.
Really good.
What Greg Araki film was I in?
Splendor from 1999.
Oh, there you go. I knew I'd worked with the man. I worked with so many fine directors over the years, I can't remember them all.
So Shannon Elizabeth was in her underwear in 1999's American Pie.
At the time I saw it, it was so exciting to see a chick nude. I didn't even think about her accent, but her accent...
Spot on.
Spot on. Okay, American Pie. Everyone liked this film.
This
but
is a phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon. Yeah. I don't know why, but it's a phenomenon. And the critics, whatever. It wasn't really that funny. It just had a bunch of weird scenes in it. But did the critics go along with it?
It was a first in a big trend of gross out comedies.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. It brought back the whole Porky's thing.
I don't think the critics loved it, but it was a fine film. And had like some laughs and things in it. Jeez, but this one's going to be tough. All right. I say rotten at 54.
Oh.
Damn, I went the other way. This could separate the men from the boys. It's at 80.
I said 79.
American Pie is fresh, but it's 60%.
Ah, crap.
Right at 60. So that was a case of I picked rotten. You guys picked fresh, but I was only 5 or 6 off or whatever.
I squeaked into the lead here.
I think I did. Let's do this. It's tight.
All right. Next up, wonderful underwear scene with Denise Richards. When teen debutante Kelly, played by Denise Richards, fails to attract the attention of her hunky guidance counselor, Matt Dillon comes in. He was him. He was the person. She cries rape, and there's a scandal that results in his arrest in 1998's Wild Things.
Oh, this is with Neve Campbell.
It was a threesome scene where Neve refused to get naked.
Oh, she did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. This is...
Do you remember this movie?
I remember. I remember porn had been invented. And so I was like, why do I need to watch this?
Has Matt Dillon ever looked like he's been up to any good?
No. He's never been... Or that he's going to be a super positive influence on those around him?
My God.
He's always a bad influence.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a very awkward threesome scene because Denise Richards clearly had no problem getting naked, but Neve Campbell clearly did. And so she's very obscured to the camera wearing like clothes, but Denise Richards is like, here we go. It's very strange. Gary, please find some stills.
The movie, I think people liked this movie. That was interesting or something. It got a lot of buzz. Maybe it's just because there was like a lesbian scene or whatever, but it was a big deal. But it wasn't like, oh, this is junk, but for this scene, it had some stuff to it. I never saw it. This is going to be tough. I'm going to say that the critics, I don't think this is in the 30s. It's not in the 80s. I got to protect a little lead here. I'm going to have it at 60.
Wow, damn it. I'm too close to you. 55. This is actually not that bad of a movie.
49.
Wild Things is fresh at 64%.
Nail in the coffin.
Yeah. All right. You have the accent, by the way?
Oh, for American Pie.
American Pie, sorry.
Hello, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on it, all right?
James, you're very good in the world history class, yes?
Me? Yeah, yes. No, yes, I am.
Perhaps you could help me with my studies.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great sometime. How about tomorrow?
Well, I have ballet practice. Perhaps, I could come by your house afterwards. I could change clothes at your place.
Yeah, I suppose that would be okay.
Her dialogue coach hung himself shortly after the movie came out.
Where is she supposed to be from?
Yeah.
IKEA?
Yeah. And when they discovered
Adam's phone.
When they discovered the dialogue coach's body, the two guys that walked in were like, "Hey, Bob hung himself. I'm not buying it. I don't believe
it's not convincing.
He's rigor mortis said it. He's crapped himself. Yeah. There's a stench of death in the air. I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's just not buying
it. I just don't believe it. Yeah. I'm just not buying it.
Yeah. She's from Slovakia in the movie.
Okay. There it is.
All right. Get this over with.
Yeah.
All right. So it was a runaway win, but a big battle for second place.
First loser.
And I will say that Gina is in second place with 48.
Oh, that's shocking.
A 51 score put up by Bald Brian. Adam Carolla with the win. 28.
Nice. Good, strong efforts all the way around. All right.
And again, the Rotten Tomatoes game brought to you by our good friends at Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com. Use code Adam.
All right. Let's see. You guys can also say hi to our friends over at Geico. Save a whole bunch of money on your car insurance over at Geico. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Just go to Geico. Just type it in, Geico, type that in, just see how much you could save. Spend a couple of minutes, it's worth it, and maybe you can save some good dough over there. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, see how much you could save in your car insurance, put that extra money in your pocket, and buy your dog a new taco outfit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's be pragmatic here, people. Don't just throw it away on food. Get that new taco outfit for your dog like I did. Geico.com. There you go. All right. Live Sunday, November 12th. Oxnard Levity live podcast. Doug Benson's going to be on stage with us. Always good, man. You guys are great on those live podcasts, and we're not too shabby either. Also, Tuesday, November 21st, Pasadena at the Ice House. We'll be there. Me and Dennis Prager, Brooklyn, New York, doing a live show November 29th, King's Theater. Corolla Drinks. Go check that out. We're all over Total Wine out here in SoCal, and it's doing a great job, and we got the beer in and all that. So check that out. Go to adamcarolla.com. Get those buck slips. Our friend Gilbert Gottfried's got his doc out. Gilbert in theaters, New York, tomorrow. That is November 3rd, Los Angeles, November 10th. Screening information at gilbertmovie.com. A really interesting doc. Check it out. Until next time. Adam Carolla for Bill Zanker and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say mahalo. Information is a good thing.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a like on Facebook. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and then subscribe to Take an E. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Oxnard, November 7th, Pasadena, November 21st. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.